Everybody, this is Adam Shartoff, your host of the Film Wax podcast, and this is a very special episode for you New York City folks or transplants. You all know, let me back up for a second. A few weeks ago, I did an entire episode dedicated to a new documentary about Veselka, the East Village Ukrainian restaurant of note. And that went over really successfully. I have to say, people really loved that episode. And I had on the family, a couple of generations of the family that have been running the restaurant, and then had on the filmmaker as well. This is kind of funny timing in the sense that this episode centers around another East Village institution. This one very different from Veselka, but still equally as beloved and iconic. In this case, it no longer exists. It is Kim's Video. Draft House Films is distributing this special documentary made by filmmakers David Redman and Ashley Sabin, who I met years ago, probably at the 2010, maybe even earlier, with a film they made called Girl Model. And I interviewed them regarding that documentary. And now it is all these years later and they're back with Kim's Video. It is a this documentary is really entertaining, and it's funny and adventurous, and it follows this bizarre story. And I should mention, before I get started, just briefly describing this documentary, that we also have on this episode Mr. Kim himself, Yongmin Kim, who is the force behind Kim's Video and really the most significant part of this documentary. For two decades, New York City cinephiles have access to a treasure trove of rare and esoteric films through Kim's Video. Originally run by the enigmatic Yongmin Kim out of his dry cleaning business, his franchise eventually amassed 55,000 rental titles. In 2008, facing a changing industry, Mr. Kim offered to give away his collection, provided that it stay intact and be available to Kim's Video members. In a bid to revitalize tourism, the small Italian village of Salemi, Sicily, became home to the archive. But after the initial publicity faded, so too did any sign of the collection. Enter filmmaker David Redman, who credits Kim's Video for his film education. With the ghosts of cinema past leading his way, Redman embarks on a seemingly quixotic quest to track down what happened to the legendary collection and to free it from purgatory. Again, we are lucky on this episode to have David Redman, his filmmaking partner Ashley Sabin, and Yongmin Kim. It's worth mentioning that Kim's Video, the documentary, premiered at Sundance Film Festival. It also was included in the Tribeca Film Festival, the Telluride Film Festival, the Fantastic Fest, the Calgary Underground Film Festival, Sydney Film Festival, Philadelphia Film Festival, CPH Docs, and others. Pretty stellar, pretty impressive. Lastly, I can mention that today, Friday, April 5th, 2024, the documentary premieres theatrically at the Quad in New York City and at Vidiot's in Los Angeles, and will be going, I'm sure, much wider over the coming weeks and months, as well as be available on a streaming platform. And what I'm going to do here is we're going to go first to my conversation with Ashley and David, and then right after that, we'll bring in, right after that, you'll hear my conversation with Mr. Kim. This episode is another New York City episode, which makes me feel very good, all right? So enjoy this episode of Kim's Video right here on Film Wax.
Babe, do you know Kim's Video? Excuse me?
A lot of things used to be here and they're gone.
Nobody rents videos anymore.
Do you know Kim's Video?
I do.
Were you a customer?
I was.
And how was it?
Wow.
I'm stepping into the gold mine of cool.
They had things that didn't exist, that never had come out. I miss it so much.
We were actively cultivating rare films.
We would watch these guys in suits clear out rows and rows of VHS tapes. About a week or so later, Mr. Kim would come into the store and they would replenish the entire row with all new bootlegs.
So you're going to chat with us about the other movie, is that right?
Yes, indeed. And I was just thinking back to when we talked last time, which was 13 years ago, you know, just kind of it feels like moments ago, but it was for obviously Girl Model. And I don't think I had even quite started doing this podcast. I mean, at that time it was like internet radio anyway. When I first started it, it might have been right around that time, but I was probably interviewing you guys. Was Girl Model at Tribeca?
Do you remember? Telluride. No, I mean, Telluride. Toronto.
It was at Toronto.
And Girl Model was at Tribeca too.
No, I don't think. I don't know.
Somewhere in New York City, we did you guys. I just remember sitting and meeting up with you guys somewhere, and we did like it was a transcripted interview for somewhere. I don't know if it was like POV or Tribeca's film.
Maybe it was part of the POV because they did some nice press.
Yeah. So. I don't know. I was writing for different.
Tom Powers.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, was it at Takamoisi? No, it hadn't started yet.
Stranger Fiction, you know how Tom.
Oh, yeah. That could be too. So we'll have to look back in the archives and figure it out. And anyway, well, this film is about archives, so it seems appropriate. Yeah. But welcome. I'm glad to finally get you guys on here for this. This is fantastic. I just did. I don't know if you guys were aware of that Veselka documentary that just came out.
What's it about?
Veselka, the restaurant.
No, I haven't come across that one.
Well, you're busy. But it just opened and it was like really a great project. I mean, you know, a Ukrainian restaurant, and the guy that made the film started making this film about the restaurant, and then all of a sudden the war starts. And I only bring it up because after it was a joy to talk to the guys that, you know, the family members that have been running that restaurant. You know, it's like two generations of this family, and the filmmaker. And it felt like such a great New York City film to dwell on, and people really responded to it. And then within days, it seems like all of a sudden I just saw that you guys had made this film, and I was so excited that there's yet another institution, you know, East Village Institution. And I had read a Village Voice article years ago about that Mr. Kim is the word sold the archive or relocated the archive to the Sicilian town, and it was there. But that's where for me, the trail ended. You know, I had no idea of the Nicolet, that there was Nicolet, that it was kind of a part of the money that I don't call it a municipality, but the people that ran the town had received money to archive, to house this collection, to make it available, to take care of it, et cetera, but neglected to do it. So that's all I'll say. I want you guys to kind of hop in and kind of connect the dots for me from that's the part of the story to the film. And it was I can also just say to those out there, it's such a kind of a mystery story. And, there's a lot of humor as well in there, but that it is really a thoroughly enjoyable journey you go on during the documentary. So I want to make sure people know that.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned that. So you're talking about what happened after that article.
Yeah,
we had the idea that I would just go rent a movie, and so I went to Salimi to show my Kim's video membership card. And
well, even say that part. So if you're a member of Kim's video, right, the idea was that you just hop on a plane, go to Sicily, and be able to use your membership. So what was the idea that you would watch it there?
Well, the original idea was Ashley's idea, and that was
Yeah.
shortly after the donation by Mr. Kim left and went to Salimi. That was in January 2009. I think it arrived in February 2009. Ashley contacted the municipality because they were selling homes for 1 euro. And so her idea back then was, let's buy a home for 1 euro, live there next to Kim's video, and just rent movies for free every day. Because one of the conditions of the contract of the donation is that former members of Kim's video are allowed to rent movies for free. And so we contacted Mr. Kim, no response. 10 years later, this is when we decided to make the movie, the documentary, Kim's
We
Video.
were also working on Girl Motto, which is the last time we left off with you. So it was like we were in the midst of a whole nother story that just it would have been too much, for two people. So
Yeah, because we didn't find out the store was closing until October, I believe, of 2008, and we were in Siberia at that time. It may have been November.
wow. So are the part about buying a home for a dollar, go back to that.
It was part of, it was actually Scarby's initiative. It's a big thing now in all of Italy. And he started it. Scarby started it, which was that there was a big earthquake in the 70s or 60s,
60s.
60s in Sicily. And in order to revitalize the town, Scarby thought, let's make these houses for a euro. The obligation is of the buyer is that you have to fix up the house. And you have to use local people to fix up that house. So, yeah, I had contacted this estate agent. I think he actually was British. And he was very eager to sell a 1 euro home. Frankly, at this point, I'm glad we didn't, because I think that would have been a whole nother. Maybe we would have made a film on that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that existed in Salemi. It started in Salemi, and now if you Google that, it's all over Italy. They're using
Oh,
that as attract
the model.
people to small towns because the small towns are really suffering. So
All right, well, that aside, so you, Dave, you're the narrator on the film, right?
the reluctant narrator, I am.
The reluctant narrator, ever the reluctant. So you did go out there with the idea, though, you're going to investigate as a filmmaker journalist,
Well, it was never really an
wasn't it?
investigation. It was more of a curiosity, I mean, I had been haunted by the disappearance of Kim's video for years, and I wouldn't say I suffered from it, but it's something, as Ashley mentioned, we couldn't let go. And I'm bypassing a lot of the story just to condense it, but what happened is that
Too much.
we received an email one day about Kim's video about 10 years after it had left. Is that right? 10 years?
We were living in Canterbury, England. David was teaching. I just given birth, and to our second. And basically, we got this email. There was a festival in Margate, which is the next town over, with the Turner Museum that's there, and it was an art festival. And there was a presentation from an Italian woman named Franca. And she was explaining what happened to Kim's. And we were like, I saw the email. I said, David, pack up the baby stuff. We're going to this presentation. And he actually had seen it and deleted it because he thought it was
I
spam.
thought it was a scam.
And we went, and it was like, I mean, the hair on both of our arms was going up straight. And it just was like seeing a ghost come back, So.
So a few weeks later, I was on a plane from London to Sicily with the dumb phone and tried to track down the collection, tried to find it. And
We
then what you see in the movie is the eventual discovery on my behalf of the collection. And as you mentioned earlier, we're not going to explain what happened, but it set in motion the entire premise for the rest of the story.
But you can talk a little bit about the first time you went
The
into the
archive.
archive room. And what that experience was like when you saw the shape of quite a bit of this, the videos, right? And we should also mention that I mean, what Mr. Kim, for those who don't know Mr. Kim's out there, this is a guy who was a former dry cleaner owner, like a dry cleaning store owner, who started renting out some videos out of the shop, right? And then it was so met with such enthusiasm and eagerness, and that he ended up opening a video shop, which turned into this mecca, this incredible store, which had thousands of these titles of rare and esoteric films that you couldn't find anywhere. So this collection really was unique and one of a kind. I mean, well, that's what unique means. But yeah, so right, and you go, and then so it's moved all this stuff. When he closes down, he agrees to send his entire library of videos out to this small Sicilian town. They're housing it, and it's sitting there in all shapes and forms. I mean, it's in boxes, it's on shelves, it's you know, exposed to all sorts of you know,
Moisture.
moisture, and it's anything. I mean, these things have to be stored in a very specific way in order to survive, right?
You're correct. It's a very good description.
Also, there was rat poison because at one point there was a
Oh,
rat
God.
problem. So they shot off a bunch of. So I don't know if you remember, but
Yeah.
David's glides across this sort of crusty thing on one of the
Yes.
VHS covers. And
Yeah.
that was all the poison that had fallen on the VHS covers.
Yeah.
It was a rat bomb, is what it was called. We didn't know it. I didn't know it at the time. I mean, it
Yeah.
was only afterwards, after speaking to the two volunteers of the collection, they explained to us what happened.
Well, more, you know, some cynical people might say, you know, what was Mr. Kim thinking? I mean, Sicily, you know, these are, you know, wonderful people, but very scrappy, and will do what they kind of have to do to, you know. I mean, and there's a hit. I don't want to, I'm not saying this is a fact, but there are, you know, people say there's corruption and this and that. So I don't know if Mr. Kim had done his all of his due diligence. And you could certainly see, as you do eventually find Mr. Kim, and we won't go much past that point in terms of the story, but that he, you know, he has a lot of regret he walks around with for that decision.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that the interesting thing going on this journey with Mr. Kim and the real access that he allowed us was that at the start, you know, I think he was just what's sort of in the mentality of what's done is done. A donation is a donation, even though he carried disappointment.
Yeah.
But then by the end of it, he really was willing to admit, man, I made a bad choice. I made the wrong choice. And
Yeah.
to see that transformation is, I think, really moving because it's so honest. It's hard to admit when you make a bad choice, you know, especially something you'd done so long ago that you want to just move on from. So there's that. And I think, you know, in regards to your question, Mr. Kim, you know, he's all about cross-cultural connections. You know, he's an immigrant, a South Korean immigrant. And he was in the Lower East Side, and he was mixing with many other cultures that were in the Lower East Side, and that was something that really got him excited. So his hope was that if it gets to this small town in Sicily, that it creates an industry and an excitement and curiosity and creativity there. And unfortunately, it just didn't. It didn't land, you know, for many reasons. I mean, I think the major reason is a lot of the films are either in English or subtitled in English, and they speak Italian. There was a small Italian section, but you know, m the majority was geared for an Anglophone audience. So, you know, and then there's this, that, and the other problem that comes with it, like you said. So I think that it was him dreaming big, and then this dream against reality.
Well, supposedly, fingers crossed, Mr. Kim is supposed to come on tomorrow. We'll see how that goes.
Oh, great.
I
Yeah.
like that. Maybe, you know, who knows? There's a mystery there. Will it actually work out? He's such a what's the word? You know, He's ephemeral. He's you know, he but although he is a definitely a collaborator in your documentary, which is called Kim's Video, right?
Yeah.
Right. He is a collaborator. He's right there. He comes out of the, you know, he sort of steps out of the fog and right into high contrast video there. It was great to see him. And and there are other friends of the of Film Wax on there too, which is nice, you know. Sean Price Williams, former employee, former clerk, right? Who has a new film out. He's got let's see, Alex Ross Perry, Robert Greene. Who else am I missing? A couple of other former.
David, what's his last name that did
There's
the
Eric Hines.
Eric Hines, but then
There's that David Wayne.
David Wayne. Unfortunately, there's one woman who used to work at
Yeah.
the in Criterion's writing department. Gosh, I can't remember her name right now. I always want to call her Allison. It's not that. Boof.
Well, she's in the credits.
She's in the credits. She
Well,
doesn't. She got unfortunately, she got laid off during the whole layoff thing that happened at Criterion. But I think she
I
might
didn't know.
be in, she may be in upstate New York as well.
We welcome any Criterion form or former Criterion employees up here. We'll set them up. There's a lot of great stuff going on up here. A lot of creative people.
Yeah.
A lot of it's wonderful. It did me some good. Yeah.
David Wayne, that's who I was thinking. The he did a whole actually he did a whole series in set inside of Kim's Video. What was the name of that thing that it
What was a Netflix show? I
was a
forgot.
Netflix show, yeah, that he had like a whole episode
Oh,
set in
I
a
think it
fake
was what's it
Kim's
called? Wet
Video.
Hot American Summer 10 years later.
Oh, sure.
And it
Yeah,
opened with
that
that
was funny.
shot of the exterior of Kim's Video with the crazy clerk, you know, that's just unflattering and dismissive of anything that's sentimental in Hollywood. And we don't know who that character was based on in Kim's, but we have ideas.
You have some theories.
Maybe someone you've mentioned, maybe not.
Right. Well, Mr. Kim's is being distributed by Draft House Films. I'm not going to say much more, but there's other connections there in the film, and it makes sense at the end that Draft House might be the distributor for your film. We'll leave it at that. There's just a lot of special moments throughout the film, let's put it that way. And it's opening in New York on April 5th, with which is, holy crap, it's April 1st already. Look at that. So
April Fool's.
Friday.
Maybe this whole thing isn't
Oh,
real. It's April Fool's Day.
do you
True, it
want
might
to,
be.
you're speaking to us on a very significant day.
And
It's
that is because.
that is because, as you see at the end of the movie, which it happened on April Fool's Day.
Oh.
April 1st, the arrival and return of Kim's Video,
All
right?
right. Now
It
you're giving
happened.
away, don't give away too much, but.
It's April 1st. It was April Fool's Day.
Oh.
Announcement came out. Most people dismissed it and said, this is a very cruel prank. Please don't do this again. Kim's Video is gone forever. It will never
Yeah.
come out. That was in the year 2022.
One or two?
Yeah.
Wow, is it
Oh,
really
okay. Not that
2 year
long ago,
anniversary?
2 years to the day. That's fantastic. Well, the film will open Friday in New York City at the Quad Cinema, which was only maybe a 10-minute walk from the original location, Mr. Kim's, give or take. It is also opening in LA at the, I'm gonna guess, I'm gonna pull a Lemley out of my pocket. No, not a Lemley.
Come on,
But that
Vidiots.
too. It's all Lemley and
It
Vidiots.
is Lemley. You're right. But Vidiots, I mean, that's what's significant with the video store,
Oh,
right?
that's fantastic. Yeah, this is a way to uniquely put a film out. I mean, it really is. You can have some fun with that and be creative, right? And then it will go nationwide a week from Friday on the 12th of April. Thank you guys.
Yeah,
Yeah,
thanks.
I'm going to let you guys get back to it, and I apologize. I was a little bit foggy this morning. I'm not Don't typically do this so early, but we have to accommodate your world travels, you know. I mean,
You did great. You had the very sweet sort of the stuttering and clarifying yourself. That's a nice morning kind of energy.
that describes my whole interviewing style in a nutshell. Thank you.
Love
know,
it.
Adam, if you get a chance to speak to Mr. Kim, you should ask him not only about his regret, but also how he has a continuous relationship with Salimi. So he hasn't given up, and neither has Salimi. I'll put it
Yeah,
that
I
way.
mean it's quite clear. I mean, what Dave's referring to is the town's leaders, and their whole complicated relationship to this archive of videos, and you know, just like how you know, these are folksy people, but you know, you also get a sense that there's other they have other things that they're doing there. Here comes the stammering. I'm trying to be very delicate and diplomatic about
Yeah, they have
everything.
other
Just
corporations.
you know that they're not crooks, but you know, this is Italian people. I have a great love of the Italian people because, you know, my own personal reasons, and you know, so I understand. And but they're there. They're there with right through writing it through right to the move of the archive and everything else. Again, I'm careful about how I describe everything because I want people to enjoy the movie as it unfolds. You know, it's then there's a lot unfolding throughout, so it's pretty fun to watch. And but yes, right, these guys are it's apparent what you're saying.
There's a yeah, continuous creative collaboration between Mr. Kim
The
and
town
Salim.
of
We'll just leave it at that. And then hopefully it may even spark a few people to fly out there to enjoy the new collaboration.
yeah, the only card I can pull. Okay, that's a cliffhanger. This is the only one I have sitting around here right now,
Oh,
but
nice. Absolutely.
Very cool.
I don't have that's
That's your
just a
membership card?
well, it's expired, but yeah.
You gotta get a new one.
Well, and then we're what was I going to tell you? Well, I'll see you this summer.
Right.
Were you a member of Kim's?
I must have been, although I don't know, maybe I well, I lived a few blocks away on 15th Street, and I'm wondering because I remember going in and getting movies. I don't know, but could you just do that? You had to be a member, right?
If you did the
Boy.
rental, you had to be a member.
All right.
Unless you were exchanging other items for the movies, then you
Oh,
didn't
yeah.
really have to be a member.
No, I wouldn't have exchanged anything. I'm not an exchanger. It's not, I avoid exchanging at all costs. So, so I don't know. We'll have to look again in the back in the arc. Are those, is that, I mean, that list, must exist, right? How else? No.
No.
How do you prove that you're a member? Can you prove it?
Mr. Kim sent the hard drive and the computer over with the collection of movies.
Oh boy.
And that hard drive and computer either
Oh, forget it.
disappeared or never made it.
You know where it
Yeah.
is? Probably. This is my guess. This is all
Sure.
projection.
Sure. Conjecture.
That's
Conjecture.
right.
Right.
I think it's with the stolen porn that they stole all, someone stole all the porn, left the cases, but stole the discs of this, ragtag collection of porn. I think they also have the name, the list, and maybe they're in the process of contacting everyone. So we all have to maybe wait for that person to get to our name on the list.
What an optimistic, lovely woman you are. You know, that's fantastic. I love you both. I'm glad to be reconnected. Yeah, I do hope to see you this summer in August there.
Yeah, we'd love
No
that.
problem.
That'd be great.
Well, thank you. We'll
Yeah,
see you
thank
in
you.
August for sure.
All right, man. Okay. Well,
Thanks
safe travels
for
and good, nothing but the best of luck with the film.
Thank you.
Well,
Yeah.
yeah, we need
Go
it.
see it in the cinema.
Exactly. This is a firm call cine. This is a cinephile movie. I mean, you know, that's all we have to
Go
say.
see it in the
Don't
cinema and bootleg it.
worry. Exactly.
On a VHS camera, that's right.
Exactly. I was tempted to do that myself as we were,
Okay.
but you know, then I realized, oh, I'm already recording it, and that would be silly. All right.
Okay,
You.
thank you.
Yeah.
Mr. Kim issued a public announcement.
앞으로의 미디어의 그 포맷의 형태는 한 포맷에 치우치지를 않고 컴퓨터 산업과
Salemi promised to digitize the entire collection.
How could anybody think sending this entire thing to another country made more sense than NYU's?
I don't speak English.
Had no one else shared that with you? That's really weird. It's the thing. It's the promise.
We knew we'd never see it again. Probably was gonna just disappear.
Where are we going?
I don't know.
I didn't know what we were getting into.
This is where people go to get murdered.
Don't forget. Okay, the only...
It seemed like we could do something beautiful with this beautiful collection. And we didn't. I didn't really know who we were working with.
I am the local chief police.
We said film knowledge matters more than ownership over movies.
It was a fact.
There was a part of me that felt like, is this for real?
I turned to fiction movies to learn how to execute a heist.
La mafia a Salemi non esiste.
How you doing?
It's all right. How are you, Adam?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, very good.
What's going on here?
Oh well, I mean, I just enjoyed the documentary. I knew the filmmakers from many years ago.
Yeah, right.
And so it was such a pleasure to be able to talk to them about your store and your enterprise and this whole story. I remember reading some years ago in that big Village Voice article. And I've been wondering what had been going on. First, I have a first question for you, though, is what were you doing to keep busy? Mainly what was going on in your life between the 2008 when you when the collection was shipped over to Sicily? And in the last year or two, what has preoccupied you for most of that time?
It's a lot of things happening. A lot of things. When I closed my last store at Mondo, 2009 January. I had the pretty loyal staffs and employees who were working in Kim's over 15 years. I opened up one, no rental video, but video sales and video and music sale stores on First Avenue and 7th Street, about 3,000 square feet, much small scale, and full basement, pretty good too. I opened it up and the fully stocked store with the about 18 employees, I let them operate for their living. And then I left it to the Mexico to start the new business in Mexico.
Oh.
And I did in Mexico the selling the LED-based the street lamp to the government. And some big company, all product made from Korea. So I spent the most of time in Korea and right. Mexico.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So until First Avenue, the rent after 5 years, opened 2009 and the 2014, the landlady increased the rent. That was really unaffordable.
Yeah.
And then the loss was greater every year.
Right.
So I subsidized for the 5 years that the store operation expenses and really couldn't hold it.
Wow.
So 2014, I finally decided to close that location as well. So so there was a between 2009 and 2014, I was here and there and almost the Simpsons, like right. everywhere. And 2015, I was in Sicily. Actually, from 2009, I was invited from Mayor Scarabi to Sicily the few time and we discussed about the promotion of Kim's collection there with the also they had their own plans and program to promote their town. So I helped them. I helped them a lot. So I went there about twice a year and we had a lot of discussion. And it seems to be 2009 and 2010, first 2 years, it seems to be very everything the moving forward. And after that, we could really the reboost of the new I call it neo renaissance from Salemi, Sicily. Actually, I prepared a lot of concepts and the programs and provide them, and we discuss a lot about those too. And when time comes, like 2004, all of a sudden, the allegation of the mafia related the crime he was investigated by the prosecutor from Rome, and all those the plan and program just disappeared all of a sudden, and I was very disappointed.
I'm sure.
Yeah. And then even after that, I revisited there and I discussed with the new mayor. Mayor was sent by the Rome, the federal government. He was temporarily stayed there, but he stayed. I thought he stayed only 1 year, but he stayed like more than 3 years there. So I tried to find a way to get the Kim's catalog collection more utilizing with the other publics. And I wasn't good enough to push everything to making through. So I try and try and almost I gave up. And then all of a sudden that the David Redmoninbaugh, Ashley Sabin, and David, and these two guys really surprised me. And there was a big ally. You know, these two guys is really big ally. I was almost given up all of a sudden.
I know. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's interesting that it took a film, the making of a film, to apply enough to pressure and attention on what was going on there.
Right.
And you could leverage it into making changes, right? It would took making a film and then of course within that, we don't want to give away too much, but there is kind of a making of a movie in within it, but that's we don't want to give away too much of the plot. But let's go back.
Go ahead.
Isn't
that clever?
What were you going to say?
Isn't that clever? You know,
clever.
This is the reason why the Sundance categorized his film in the
film premiered at Sundance.
The next film. You know, they call it the his film into the category of the next film, which is
it was like a genre, almost a genre film, the documentary that David and Ashley made, but it's just pretty amazing story. It just keeps growing and growing into directions that one could never predict this whole story. But when going back to, let's say prior to when you were trying to find, I guess, people or towns to bid, right, on taking on the collection back in 2000, the mid-2000s to about 2000, of course, right, the collection went in around 2008?
No, 2009 in January.
Okay.
2009.
The collection shipped over there.
Yeah, they arrived the January 5th, 2009.
That's when the collection went to.
It arrived. January 7, 2009.
Understood. So, but leading up to that, when you it was you, I guess, who selected, right, the town, they made a bid and you accepted it. And then this everything went there. During that process, did you have any, what was that process? Let me just ask you rather than put words in your mouth, but what was that process like? You know, what were you hoping for, and what were you hoping for? What went into the choice of Salemi as the place to send the collection? I'm curious.
Well, the three things pretty affect for my the decision made out of. Number one, the host, Scarvey and Toscani, these two pretty strong the cultural the European icons, pretty iconic to me. So I had pretty strong trust based on these two guys, the cultural background. That was number one. And number two, I was very inspired and very impressed about this town called the Salemi. Salemi got 1964, they got a very big earthquake, it hit this town.
Right.
And the town was, I saw even from pictures on it, but it looked a really beautiful town. And every street and every houses and every everything, it looks like a handcraft made out of, you know, it's wow. So artsy and so beautiful. So that also made me the decision pretty easy. Yeah, this town definitely with the Kim's collection to promote this town so soon. You know, I had a dream like everybody else. I want a lot of New Yorker visit this town and having fun and the recap of Kim's video collection. That'll be really awesome. So I really was dreaming that could be happen. So I had a pretty strong strong belief.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, that you just saw a jewel with this town, and that maybe you could, that this collection might help to restore the jewel that was this town. Correct. Once. Yeah. Wow, beautiful. So switching gears a little bit, I don't know how much time we have, so I just have a few questions. I started this podcast to support and to kind of champion independent film. Mm-hmm. You know, the kinds of films you might even have in the Kim's video collection. And I started it in the early part of the last decade, around 2010 or so, I started to. And I met filmmakers like Alex Ross Perry and Sean Price Williams, who was a cinematographer. Now he's directing movies. He's started, right? Mm-hmm. And also Robert Greene. These are guys that, you know, just a few of the filmmakers that worked at Kim's Video as clerks, right?
Yeah.
What did you make of these guys back then, 20 years ago? What did you make of them? You probably had a manager hire them. I'm guessing you didn't hire them. Maybe you met them, but you approved of them.
Actually,
maybe.
Sean and Alex, that especially these two guys, they were working in the Mondo Kim, the way I spend most of the time there. So I saw them pretty frequently there. And they were hired by the manager. But I ended up meeting them almost every day because...
Well, what was your impression of these guys?
Well, as I said, the most of Kim's staffs and the clerks, they were almost professional. Most cases, they are very, very well-knowledged in film and music. And I knew this, and also even back in 1990 and 1980, many of my staffs were actually independent filmmaker. I'm not sure that you remember, like Nick Jett, Very good friend of mine, and Richard Curran, also a very good friend of mine. You know, the Kims try to promote those guys and support always. So that was a very big part of it. So really, the most Kim's steps were the they were almost like pretty professional the filmmakers and musicians. All they need is some good support and a good stage where they can meet their audiences. You know, there was a role that I always want to play through Kim's video and music.
Right. Well, it's I one could suggest that you played a small role or a role in these guys, this generation of filmmakers who are now making films that are going out into the world, that you played a role in that, or their history with Kim's video played a role in that, because they got another level of film history during their years working there.
Yeah, I appreciate you say that. Yeah, that was the purpose. Actually, there was actually the strategy, the different way to grow the Kim's video, in terms of business growing strategy, that Kim's video is not just waiting for the customer to sell the videos and music, but also we want to be the interactively involved with the provider, not just to a consumer. So Kim's video did that at some point, those role to play. And that's why a lot of Kim's video followers still remember and they appreciate it for, which is still really thankful, you know. And that was my way, you know. I was very stubborn, and I got a lot of challenge, you know, internally and externally. They wanna change my style and my way, and sometimes that even internally making a lot of hard time and making very difficult for my way of the building up my business. But I was quite stubborn. This is the reason why a lot of steps still call me like he's like. He's like a mafia and pretty tough guys, and
Well, you come from obviously from a business background, but it seemed like being the owner. For those who don't know, you started with the dry cleaning business, and then you sold some videos, or rather, were renting some videos out of there, and then it took off so well that you opened the store, which became a iconic institution in Lower New York City, and. But you come from a business background, but maybe over the years you became a film. I don't know. Well, you had some film background, didn't you? Actually, did
yeah,
you have
I
some?
Did.
You
yeah.
did, right? You were a film lover as a young person, right? You discovered the European filmmakers, and
yeah, I went to film school. I made the films. I produced films. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I have. Right. Yeah, I'm not just a businessman. So this is the reason why that I know what the filmmakers needed, and they wanted.
Right.
So that really pretty helpful. They incorporate their wishes into my business operation style. So, yeah.
What did you make of the last question for you? I want to give you some of your day back to you today. Let you go in a little bit, but what's your feeling about the film, the documentary? What's David and Ashley's documentary?
I think this guy's also this guy's very brave, number one, without my permission.
Right. Oh yeah.
Yeah. This no matter what, they just started, you know. That's I highly admire very much. So
oh, that's nice.
And I think their plot, the film plot, is that's unbelievable. you know, very surprising. And conventionally, we think that documentary has no fun, but as you saw this film has a full of fun and laughter, you know.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, the David and Ashley, yeah, they did a really super job.
From they have your full endorsement.
Yeah, from beginning, I told them that I will not involve, even if you ask me how and how to shape this film style. But I told them that, look, this is your work, and you got to get your 100% credit. And I don't want to involve it. I don't want to tell you what to do. And I'm not going to tell you what I like or what I don't like. So this is, you got to fully take the 100% credit and 100% responsibility. That's the how we started from beginning with. So that was my first comment when I decided to go with these guys.
That's great. My favorite moment in the film may be where you're at your New Jersey home, and they divulge what they're up to. it's a great moment, and you are absolutely
I was
surprised.
You remember I said there's a really
that wasn't acting.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, I'm sorry if I cut you off.
No, you didn't cut me off. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm so thrilled to meet you. I was living on 15th Street and 3rd Avenue those years, and was a customer and was in the store many times over the years. And
go, Adam.
Yes.
I have a treatment. I have a treatment based on actually my life story from at age 8 till now. I want to develop into the feature project. And yeah, if you can spread it out that any producers interested in developing this project, I really appreciate it. Yeah, if you can find somebody, and I'm willing to send a treatment for their review.
I would happily help in any way I can. I certainly know my share of producers, and just Caitlin will share, you know, my contact information with you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And, but I thank you for your time today. And, I'm going to help as much as I can with this, documentary, Kim's Video. It's out as we speak on this Wednesday, the 3rd of April. It comes out in New York and LA on Friday, I believe, or maybe.
Yeah, that's right. Friday.
Right. At the Quad Cinema in New York City. So I assume you'll be there, and you'll be meeting very probably happy audiences there that are going to want to talk to you, I'm sure. And
yeah, I am very thrilled to to meet them.
Have a great time.
All right. Have a great time.
There you go. We'll be back next week with another episode of Film Wax, episode 800, I might add. Thanks to you for tuning in. Take care of yourself and the ones you love. Until next time.